What's up, everybody? We're here for Mudball Monday. Same thing with the irons. It's been spot on or it's been terrible.
If there's one thing that you could say, like, hey, he could still be every bit as good in this part of the game. You know, it's yeah, short game and then putting.
Eating. Can we talk varietals for a sec? I want to get into it for a
minute. Always we can talk varietals. The consistency may or may not be there, but like he can still hit the shot.
The last time that he won at Valhalla was against Bob May. And I'm just excited to see Tiger Woods and Michael Block tee it up together.
Yes. Yes.
In a playoff at Fuck Valhalla. Yes.
Mudball Monday. Here we are. No screwing around. Jumping right into it. It's Cat Chat. Cat is back. Just always so appreciative of having Cat back with us on the golf course. Walker Simas joining me as always, episode 113. How you doing?
I'm good. It's been a tough week. Just kind of grinding through it. Been on the recovery table, been in the ice. No, all is well. I'm good. Glad to be here. Always glad to be here for Mudball Monday. And excited to talk Cat. Plenty to talk about this week, which is just splendid.
I think the most Cat thing that I've done to myself all week, and we'll get fully into it. We will hit the dirt, of course. But yesterday I was looking at the leaderboard and I like did a double take because I saw the top of the leaderboard. I saw that Scheffler was leading, and I genuinely said to myself, I was like, oh, there's a tournament
other people,
going on.
There,
you know, they're like there's someone actually leading this thing. You know, I was just like, where is Cat? First and foremost, I mean, look, Zalatoris, I gave him a tough time on the stories with his putting. That is just a tough scene. But I mean, Cat's got four to play. We're recording here midday on Sunday. Shit. Wyndham Clark has three to play. I mean, I think Cat's two ahead. He's probably going to beat Wyndham Clark. U.S. Open champ cannot beat Cat right now in the form that Cat is in, the state that Cat is in. That is a tough scene. So hey, I don't know what to say. It is what it is. Looks like Scheffler is just kind of beating up on him. But anyway, hey, before we get too far here, let's get into the dirt, drinking, eating, reading, thinking. Walker Simas, lead us off.
Yeah, we'll do it. Just been hammering my Good Walk coffee. I've, you know, as I mentioned many weeks ago, I'm just still on South American Dark and Mudball Half Calf.
Dude, it's so good. South American Dark. Just
I'm
slaps.
So dialed. I'm so dialed. I maybe I'll try another blend after I get done with this. I've still got probably until the second week of January before I need to hit reorder. But I am absolutely loving the state of affairs right now. We've been pretty diligent about mentioning discount codes. You've had plenty of chances to save some money on your Good Walk coffee orders. If you happen to have missed those calls, hammer code the tie at goodwalkcoffee.com. Get yourself an order before the holiday season. You don't want to be running out of the house, trying to go get beans, going to get a $6 coffee. We don't want any of that. Coffee at home is the way to go. And you can make a really good cup. Support the tie guys while you do it. Highly recommend. Other than that, it's been just water, salt. I've had some coconut water this week, which I haven't had in a while. And I got into some highlights yesterday, which was just a blast. Probably the beer that makes you feel most like shit.
Highlights?
Highlights.
Like a Miller High Life? Is that what you're saying?
No. Highlight. It's like an IPA. It's maybe 7.5%. Super dark. But they were cold yesterday. Therefore, that's what I was going with. And it was like, you know, late afternoon, kind of on the back end of golf. And just instant regret. Like, felt nice for maybe 40 minutes and then, you know, came home and just had to be diligent the entire late afternoon about getting those suckers out of my system. So,
I mean, the trifecta of IPA, super dark, and 7.5% truly made my stomach roll over twice.
Yeah, it
like
sucks.
I can feel the, yeah, okay, enough.
Yeah, it sucks, but it is what it is. Eating. Can we talk varietals for a sec? I want to get into it for a minute.
Always we can talk varietals.
All right. So there's how a given apple ranks amongst its peers, right? But there, I want to talk about,
I mean, this is like Ty Course reviews sort of stuff. Ty Varietals reviews is really, you know,
it really is.
You know, there rating is, trend over time.
There is a consistency factor that I'm noticing within each varietal of apples. And my three go-tos in no particular order are Honeycrisp, Envy's, and Cosmic Crisp. If I had to rank them in terms of what I would be most likely to grab on like a weekly grocery run, it would be Cosmic Crisp 1, Honeycrisp 2, and Envy 3. And the reason why Envy comes in at 3 is because I've been noticing quite a range in quality. The great Envy apples are super dense. That's why I love them. And like crunchy. I mean, it's a project trying to finish one of these. I cut into slices. I respect those who go for the whole apple. But Envy's at their worst are, I don't really know how to describe it, but they're not as dense. They are more mushy. And I do not want a mushy apple. And no. I don't know how often you dabble in the Envy's, but curious to hear your takes on just like range of quality within a given varietal.
Well, I mean, like I said, we're clearly talking Ty Course reviews sort of stuff and just taking it into apples, which is just a very clear 1-2 punch. And so what I'm hearing from you is that the Envy is a relatively high ceiling sort of apple. You know, we're talking 95, 96, when it's good, it's good. Its rating is a bit lower than that, you know, and it's an 89 or a 90. And so in our calculation, it's going to get a knock for that of too large of a delta there. Trend over time, you know, I haven't had enough. I can't really speak to it. You need to have had reps. Got to get reps if you really want to speak to trend over time. So I'll leave that to you. I mean, I can really speak on the Cosmic Crisp here. Like, to me, the ceiling is high. It's similar ballpark, 95, maybe 94. I don't know. Maybe that really good Envy is a little bit better. But then the rating is just rock solid. Like, I don't know how you make a Cosmic Crisp all that much better. Like, it's like a 93 or a 4 of an apple to me. Trend over time, really high as well. The only thing that I will give it there, and I think this, I mean, this is big Whole Foods sort of conversation, but I see them just clearly sourcing the smallest ones and then charging the same amount, you know?
Interesting.
Like, we're talking baseball size at Whole Foods, whereas when I go to Central Market, kind of the specialty store of HEB, deep in the Texas conversations here, and we will move on in just a moment. But I mean, these things are fucking grapefruits, and I love a big apple. I mean, I love big apple, and I love a big apple as well. So, I mean, trend over time still kind of sits at like a 7. It's really good, but that's the only reason that it's not higher, more like an 8. Jury's out on Honeycrisp. Honeycrisp is really good. Trend over time slightly lower. You know, I think the consistency factor isn't quite there. The ceiling's probably a 93. The rating's probably a 91 or 2. So, Ty Varietals reviews, Ty Course reviews, one and the same.
I mean, what a clash. I mean, the big grocers just get involved in Big Apple. There's some asshole in a warehouse like, no, too big. That's going to HEB. It's like not going to happen. Not going to happen. I'm trying to think what else. Oh, this week, another thing that I've been shifting a little bit is obviously since January 1, 2023, have dialed up the calories and the protein dramatically, but I have shifted or experimented with shifting nearly all of my protein intake to like pre 3 o'clock and then dinner. Like, this is kind of a Marcus Philly conversation. He, one of my / our favorite like fitness, but also diet influencers, he's been doing these big salads at night, like dinner salads kind of. And I wouldn't say
big salads isn't just a salad that is large. Are we talking the industry big salad?
I'm going to leave the industry big salad alone. I don't know what they're up to. I don't have tabs.
Bad shit. Bad shit.
I know Kale's got heavy influence.
Big anything is up to
lots
bad
of red
stuff.
Tape. Yeah. Seed oils. Anyways. No, big salad is in quantity. And he kind of plays games with it, trying to, you know, mix it up. But no, I've just been going heavy veg for dinner, basically. And whatever carbs I didn't hit like throughout the day, I don't count or anything. But dinner has just been more heavy veg recently. And I feel like, again, I don't have like any big data to tie to this, but feel like I've been sleeping a little bit better as a consequence. So That's it on the eating front. Reading. I just finished up Master of One, which is a book I've never read before. It's kind of been sitting on my bookshelf since probably junior high school. And Jordan Rayner, I think Jordan Rayner is the author. But what the book talks about specifically is just how to find and carve out the time to do more of kind of what we were created to do, what really fuels your fire. I talked a few weeks ago about kind of trying to find the work that allows you to access your higher gears. Like, we all have these higher gears. What we're capable of doing is often much beyond what we think we are. And I've also been reflecting on this idea that Nick Bear has been talking about, revolving around, most of our wheels are turning, most of us are working pretty diligently throughout the week, trying to achieve the things that we want to achieve. But what is really important is, where are you going? Like, how are you strategizing to get where you're trying to go? And he's been talking a lot about being more strategic and just not working overly hard to achieve the same goals. More strategic, basically. And that kind of thought, those thoughts have fed into my thinking quite a lot this week and kind of the weeks past. Another thing that I've kind of been, I'll roll right into thinking here. Another thing that I've been really working hard on is just trying to close 2023 out pretty light. It's like, not last year, I felt not this burden, but we're working on kind of what does the end of year pod look like for 2023, and I'm thinking about what's important for 24, and it's going to be really helpful entering 24 without trying to just tackle a bunch of stuff at the last minute from 2023. So that's kind of what I'm thinking about. Got a marathon next week. I'll report on that. We're recording a little bit early for next week's Mudball Monday, so we'll report more for next week's Mudball Monday, and we'll get after it. Henry, what is your dirt this week?
My dirt. I decided today I'm just going to run like straight through what today has looked like so far. I can't sleep past 5 a.m. these days. It is what it is. When I get tired, I go to bed, and then, if the alarm, especially on the weekend, or the alarm doesn't go off till like 5:30, but I haven't been making it even close to that. If I wake up at 4:30, like, I'm going to jump back in bed. But then typically by about 5:15, I'm just like, all right, there's no more falling asleep. So I was up around then. I mean, just straight to the coffee station. Good walk is flowing. 24-ish ounces of half calf. Probably do 6 to 8 somewhere in there before things get moving, as they say. Of course, there's some water that takes place before that. But 6 to 8 ounces of coffee or so. And then after that, straight for the electrolytes. I did 9 miles this morning, so got to get hydrated for that. Been working a lot on dialing in nutrition, because, I mean, for me, I can easily do 6, 7, 8 miles on nothing, but the performance is just very clearly not as good. 4 or 5 miles, I'm just going electrolytes, and that's fine. I'll eat breakfast right after. But 7, 8, 9 miles, if I want the performance to be anything impressive, even remotely, I need to eat something. So this morning I did 2 bananas, a little bit of blueberry, just a little bit of peanut butter and some honey. Great. Like, hour-ish before I was stepping off for the run. So didn't feel a thing in my stomach, but plenty of energy. And then about mile 5, 5 and a half, somewhere in there, probably 35 or 40 minutes into the run, I was doing one sort of gel, just for a little bit of extra energy. And I mean, fueling for an 8, 9 miler just feels so different than if you're just going out dry. So that was solid. Straight to the sauna and cold plunge after that, which is just, really rock solid way to start a morning. So yesterday, I sent you a video while I was doing it. Had a speed workout yesterday morning, and on my way back in the cool down, I run past this fucking bagel shop, and they're clearly just cooking up cinnamon raisin bagels. And like, when you're fasted 14 hours and on mile 7 of a speed workout, and you smell cinnamon raisin bagels, like, my God, dude, that's a tough scene. So I had to go see what that place was about this morning. Did that, got a bacon, egg, and cheese. It was really nice. And so then, you know, we've got some coffee left over still. We had a little false start on Mudball Monday with some technical difficulties. So we pushed to a little bit later. And then with that leftover coffee, did another electrolyte, little chocolate situation. Just a quick kind of upper body workout after that. And back for some oats and things of that nature. So that's kind of been the drinking and eating thus far today. Only other thing that I'll shout out on the eating front, did a little pad thai on Friday night in-house. And I was reminded of two things. One, pad thai is absolutely elite. I love it. And two, there's a reason I don't eat it all the time, because even in-house, if I'm lightening it up, you know, if you're going to make a pad thai, like I'm going to cut back a little bit on kind of everything, honestly. Like I don't need 4 tablespoons of peanut butter. I don't need a quarter cup of soy sauce and 4 tablespoons of fish sauce, all the things that a recipe is going to call for. But like, if you're going to do it, you want it to taste kind of close to the normal thing. But, you know, I can't do a little cup of pad thai. You know, like if I'm eating, I'm going to have like a proper dish, and you're just, man, you are salting yourself. Like I woke up and I could like feel it in my fingers a little bit, and it's never the best of feelings. Yeah, I don't like it, but I do like pad thai. So there's a reason it stays in the rotation, but there's a reason it's not like a every third night sort of deal. So that's all I'll share on that front. Going into my reading, been working on a couple books, but I'm actually going to do an oh so shameless plug for the 25 Golf Courses of Christmas. We've been releasing daily my personal top 25 in the States. And for those that didn't read the initial piece on this, you should go back and do so, but I'll just tell it to you here. These are my top 25. So personally, from my opinion, not like a rating these for everybody, this is what I like and only golf courses that I've played. So, you know, when you don't see Augusta in there, don't knock it. Help me change that, please. It's been fun though. So a lot of writing, a lot of proofreading, really enjoying that process. Loving the reels that you're doing. The one on Somerset today in particular was a slapper. So check that stuff out. Check out the reels, check out the writing, check out the reading that you should be doing. It's been a fun little project that we have going this December all the way up till the 25th. And then finishing up with my thinking, you know, some somewhat similar stuff to what you were talking about there. I've been thinking a lot about like, what do we talk about? And then what are we about? You know, like we're in this world where there's like so much to consume all the time, whether it's through Instagram and YouTube or books or anything. Like we're always just consuming. And then the question kind of goes to, okay, well then what are you applying and what are you actually going and putting into action? Whether that's work stuff, whether it's, you know, what you're cooking and going about nutrition wise, whether it's fitness stuff, like what are you actually practicing? And then what do you just think that you're doing and interested in? So been working on like, hey, if I'm going to take it in, I'm going to put it out as well. So don't think about it. Don't talk about it. Be about it. That's my thinking as of late. So we'll use that as a platform to roll right into something I am absolutely about, which is the cat, baby. He's back in all of his glory. I was talking to my brother about this. Like we knew one thing. The man was going to show up looking just jacked in the upper body and hitting dingers. And that much has been true. I've seen high 170s, have not seen the old 180 something. I could have missed it. He absolutely could be hitting those sorts of numbers, but plenty of 177s, 178, just looking like a unit out there. You know, lower body is looking bad to non-existent, but I'll kick it to you. Like part by part of his game, what do you think so far? What's been maybe encouraging, and is there anything where you're just like, eh, you know, I don't quite see that scaling into anything interesting come hopefully a handful of tournaments in 24.
This is where I was wrong. If you had asked me on Tuesday this week, I didn't watch really any coverage or Golf Channel pre-coverage before the tournament actually started. But I would have thought that at least one part of his game would have been really shaky, and that is not really what I've seen so far this week. I'm a little bit behind as we sit here and record on Sunday. I haven't really seen any of the Sunday round, but every part of the game has looked really good at times, and there's been rust everywhere as well. Yesterday, being Saturday round 3, you know, putting wasn't as good, but he's hit plenty of long drives. I think round two, round three, really started to get some fairways. Short game looks nice. I mean, when it counts too, and this is the grainiest of grainy Bermuda that we'll see all year. My absolute death zone when it comes to short game shots, and he's making Twilight it look zone. pretty good. I don't even know if I'd call it the Twilight Zone. This is the death
30
zone.
Or 40 yards off of green is the Twilight Zone. The music starts playing. It's just gnarly shit.
Yeah, it's gross. But no, everything's the driver's been great. And when it hasn't been great, it's been terrible. Same thing with the irons. It's been spot on or it's been terrible. Actually, he's had a few
good way to put it. Yeah.
Short missed putts, but it's like, dude, I mean, guy hasn't competed in 6 months. I have no idea how much he's played in the last 6 months. Tiger strikes me as a guy who totally, totally underplays what he's doing at home.
Sandbags the hell out of us.
It's incredible. So no, I feel really good. And you said lower body, you know, gone to non-existent, which I agree with. However, I was expecting a major, major shuffle this week with the walk on the step and the inability to get back onto the left side. And I've seen that a couple times with some iron shots where like he did the old Walker Simas move. He just wee, you know, and just let everything stay on the right side. You can't hit good shots like that. But every single one that he's gotten around on has been perfect. So yeah, back at you. What do you think about the game? And did anything stick out good or bad this week that you were like, oh, this is kind of exciting, or that kind of sketches me out a little bit?
Well, I actually really like what you said about like it's been good or it's been shit. You know,
which
haven't
is
seen
encouraging.
Which frankly, yeah, I'd rather see that. Like you want to see the positive rather than just like the constant jog of like, it's all fine, but it's not great. You know, that can easily trend towards just not being very good, where it's like, well, if we can clean it up, clearly the ability to be strong is in there. But yeah, I like that. So one thing I'm tracking on the driver, clearly lower ball flight, which I'm quite a big fan of. You know, probably a function of slightly less speed. I don't know that we're talking quite piss rockets, but pissy rockets, you know, like I'm pretty pleased with the flight that he's got going. So this is something I was thinking a lot about, like with this week, but then also kind of trying to project. It's like what is left in this lemon? The lemon might be just completely gone. We're like grinding through the rind at this point in terms of what Tiger's got left in him. But you know, trying to project into like what could this mean for the rest of well, not the rest of this year, but I guess moving into 24 and anything else that he would have. And you know, something I was looking at some stats. He really has not putt the ball that well over the last 2 to 3 years. And if there's one thing that you could say, like, hey, he could still be every bit as good in this part of the game. You know, it's yeah, short game and then putting. Short game is an interesting one. Like the more that you talk to people that really know what they're talking about when it comes to like tour level golf, like short game is not irrelevant by any means, but there is a slight irrelevance to it if you're talking about the very highest levels. You know, it's like, hey, if you're talking about how great someone's short game is all the time, it's like, well, they're missing too many greens. You know, like you just, to some degree, you can't be chipping the ball 6 times or 8 times around if you want to actually be competing. So anyway, that's a whole nother rabbit hole. But the putting is the thing that I'm a little bit interested in right now. It's been just very okay. And that, when I think about Cat moving forward and like, okay, is there any way that I could pencil out him ever contending again, really in any tournament, frankly? I don't even want to throw a major in there. The putter needs to be just electric. And I'm not quite feeling that electric putting out of him, you know? So I would say that's the biggest thing that I've been tracking and just thinking about going forth is like what needs to happen for him to get back to where it's just like obscenely good putting. Because dude, that would be so gnarly if Cat went out there, you know, just like basically on one leg and was kind of just hitting these piss rocket drives down the fairway, still just carving it up iron wise. But like he's hitting 6 irons from where the Rorys and Roms of the world are hitting wedges and 9 irons in. And so he's just not going to be quite as good proximity wise, but he's just then tearing it up with the putter. I mean, that would be absolutely awesome if he was just gaming people.
Well, that's going to be how it's going to have to happen that way. That's it. If Tiger is going to win again, putter's got to be
the
upper
thing.
Echelon.
Yeah.
And I go back and forth. I want to hear what you have to say here. Like, is this a purely an hours thing? You know, back in the day,
reps,
we would always talk about Tiger's schedule, right? And the guy was probably, I mean, I think it's fair to say that he was putting on a putting green, putting towards a target for 3+ hours a day, every day. And I have no idea what his current schedule looks like. I think it's hard to imagine that he would have done that pre this event, but, you know, come the Masters, could that kind of schedule be on the table? I'm not sure. But yeah, you're right. If he wants to win again, I think he can. But it's the putter is going to play a bigger role than it probably has in years past.
Yeah. I mean, by no means is he out there posting Zalatoris sort of stuff putting wise. Just like digging into the stats from the last few years and looking at this week, like he kind of lives in that maybe just barely gaining on the field and losing like a shot around sort of range. And, you know, realistically, like we're going to need to gain a couple shots around over the course of a tournament if he's going to have a week that he could potentially contend. Because, I mean, fuck knows how many shots he's spotting to the field given his physical status as soon as he tees it up. You know, it's more than two, basically.
Oh, it's so, definitely more than two. Maybe more than three or four.
I'm talking per round. I'm not talking for the week. That's the game stuff. I want to kick one back to you with, like, you know, let's get deep here. Let's get into our feelings. Like, how does it make you feel these days to see Tiger get out there again? Because I don't know where he's at on the whole nine live sort of deal. I don't know if we're like, you know, bottom of the ninth or if we're like, you know, just getting into the top of the ninth and there's like an out or two, but like we are so far beyond the eighth life. It's ridiculous. And so,
yeah,
I don't know. I feel more and more appreciative every time I see him out there, and I'm curious to see or to hear, you know, where you're at on that continuum.
You know, when Mike Tyson retired in the ring after that fight, and he said something to the order of, I just don't really have it in my heart anymore. Like, I can still be in shape. I can still get in the gym and be able to stand in this ring and look like I belong here, but I don't have it in my heart anymore. And I forget who was talking to him. It was like years after it, but he said, I knew it was a couple of years before I even gave that speech that I knew that. I just kind of kept on getting away with it. I kept on being successful. And that's kind of where I feel like we're at with Cat. We're like, he's already realized it, but each time he shows back up, you know, he's able to prove to himself in shreds that he's still capable of winning, and he probably won't walk away from the game until those great shots go away. And I don't know when that'll be, but no, like a kid in a candy store. I mean, and everybody feels the same way getting to see him back on television. The joke that he played on JT, I think it was day two. They didn't announce JT off the first tee at all with anything other than his name. And then round two, he gets like every single accomplishment that he's ever had on the first tee, like Tiger did that one year when Phil called him off. That was awesome. And I think it's cool just watching him scrap around because you know how disciplined the guy is. There's something about, you know, what Tiger's been through. And so when you see him fly it over an easy flag from 88 yards, and be faced with this brutal up and down, and he still treats it with the same sincerity and, you know, the same process. And like, that's what I'm there to see, frankly. You know, we're not there to see him hoist trophies anymore. We're just there to see him like do his dance, kind of. And so that's what I love. That's kind of what I've been getting into. What about you?
Yeah, it's like, appreciative is the word that I keep using. Like, I just, the guy does not have to do it. There's 0% of him that has to do this. I know he wants to, but I just love the fact that we still get to see him out there every now and then playing. I don't know if I would quite say, okay, so a Catless Masters at this point, like, am I as excited to see the hero with Cat in it? That's probably about what we're talking about. Those are about equal to me. Like, I was way more excited to fire up the hero this week than any tournament in the last like 6 months, you know, like with Cat being there, it's just so unbelievably different. These are like the most lukewarm takes of all time. But it just makes the game more fun. Like, what was it, Friday? I'm at work and had my laptop, so my work laptop's doing its thing. And then I brought my other laptop in because I, you know, I had to watch Cat. And guy I'm working with comes over and we're like looking at something. And I was like, hey, you know, sorry, this is not a regular thing. It's just when Tiger's playing, this is happening. It was not like, sorry, let me close that. It was like, no, this is how it's going to be. It's just like, it only happens when Tiger's playing. Cause yeah, like I don't really watch a ton of golf necessarily. I kind of keep track of all the tournaments and things, but when he's playing, it's just so exciting. You know, I just love seeing him get out there. And you know, the older, kind of more cerebral, genuine Cat is also a great thing. Like I love listening to his press conferences. And just how, I guess, straightforward he is these days. You know, his answers seem very candid. For the longest time, you can kind of see right through a lot of the bullshit of, you know, if you ask Cat in 2019, fucking hell, he won one. But if you ask Cat in 2019, like, do you think you can win another major? Do you think you can get Nicklaus's record? Like, before the question was halfway out, yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yep, that's the goal. And it's like, are you really going to get to 19? Like, fuck, I hope he does, but it's not going to happen, I don't think. But nowadays, like, when he's asked, hey, can you still win? Like, do you think you could win a major? Do you think you can win a tournament? He's like, you know, yeah, I think it could happen, but it's a little bit hard to say, frankly. But then the follow-up question in the press conference this week was like, well, do you think you could win this week? Do you think you can play well? And he just smiled. He's like, yeah, I do. I like, yes, my game is there. And yeah, he's going to lose by 18 or 20 shots. And so maybe that didn't quite come together, but yeah, the more genuine Cat is just really great stuff. So makes the game better. Again, these are the most lukewarm takes ever, but it's a fun week, any week that we get to be treated to the Cat.
Can I put you in Charlie's shoes real quick? I know that may be an uncomfortable, weird place to be, but like you yourself are being, I don't know whether he's being directly coached by dad or, you know, what even that sort of conversation looks like.
I refuse to believe anything else is the case.
Yeah, but I wonder if Tiger at some point went to Charlie and he was like, hey, look, do you want me to be your coach or do you want somebody else to coach you? I'm not really into doing lukewarm one or the other. You kind of need to pick. I'm not sure if that conversation happened, but if you're Charlie Woods, you are, you know, on your own path to getting better, playing collegiate golf, doing the thing, right? And then you get to watch your dad not only say, you know, put his own career aside and focus on showing up to your events and traveling and doing all the things, but say, hey, I've got an event that I need to be ready for. And in 6 weeks and 8 weeks and on a day-to-day process, you know, you and I are going to be together. I'm going to get my workouts in. I'm going to get my recovery in. I'm going to practice this, this, and this. Being Charlie, getting to see that firsthand, not for the first time, but for the first time in this way, in this season. What the hell is that like? I mean, that's got to be just a wild inside look.
Yeah, totally. I think that it's got to be interesting to get to see him get out there and play because, not to at the expense of this potentially sounding a little cringy, it's like dipping back into what I said in my dirt of like talking about it and being about it. Like Cat will reach a day where he's not going to be able to do what he once did and not going to be able to actually go talking to younger guys. And obviously the respect will still be just absolutely immense, but we're not there yet where like he can't hit the shots. Like he can, the consistency may or may not be there, but like he can still hit the shots. And so that's more what I think on is like when we get to the day where Charlie is just like bombing it way past Tiger every single time. And you know, the four iron's kind of going like 195 or 200 and it's just like, just a different deal. I'll be more curious to see kind of how things feel at that point. Cause I mean, you know, what is it, that ninth hole? It's like a tradition unlike any other. A, for him to return to the hero, and B, for him to show up to that fucking ninth hole, the par five, and just hit a couple of seeds every year in at least one of the rounds. He hits one like 340 down that fairway. He's got like 285 in, which is just not a short three wood. And he just like smacks it over the back of the green. And we're like, this cat still has life in him. It's just fantastic. And of course he did it this week again. So I don't know if I even remotely answered your question there, but yeah, it'll be interesting to me when the day does come that he truly is just like a bit of a shell of his former golfing self.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's wrap things up here. Talk briefly about 2024 and what we might get the chance to see on the playing front. Like they asked him in the press conference this week, like what's kind of our bull case here on tournaments. And he basically said, you know, once a month, that's probably as good as I can do. And I think that that's a very realistic thing for him to say. Like if he was saying, oh, you know, 12, 15 tournaments, like that's just, you can tell that the body can't, it just simply cannot do that. And it's always hard to really project based off of this tournament because it's 80 some degrees out there. And it's like everything about him playing golf courses that are hillier and longer and it's colder. It's just a completely and utterly different conversation. But let's just talk about the majors. Like you don't necessarily have to go one by one, but where does your mind go when I say like, hey, what's the prospect here for the Masters, the US Open, the PGA and the British Open? For Tiger potentially in 24.
Yeah, I think about weather, temperature, the undulation of the golf course. I mean, it's sad that that's what we're thinking about, but sadly, that's kind of where we're at.
Tee times, how early they get them off. That's a big thing.
Yeah, and I hate that I got into some Brandel talk this week, but I did and kind of heard his thoughts, and he's right. I mean, the stars are going to have to align for Tiger to have a really nice window to actually win, and then the game's going to have to be there, and the putter's going to have to be there, and then a few things are going to have to go right. But that's what we're talking about. I think the Masters is still in the cards. Augusta's getting longer. God knows what they're doing to it in the off season, but it's going to be decently warm. I just worry about that walk. It's a brutal walk these days. And to do that for 72 holes is going to put a toll on his body. So I think we're looking at a made cut at Augusta. But like we saw this week, I struggle to see anything that is in between really good and really bad. So it's hard to say. It's also his first major back. And, you know, maybe we don't have as good of a week during Masters week. I hope you can be more optimistic there. What I'm really excited for is the PGA Championship, because the last time that he won at Valhalla was against Bob May. And I'm just excited to see Tiger Woods and Michael Block tee it up together.
Yes. Yes.
In a playoff at Valhalla. Yes. And Tiger once and for all does what we've all been hoping for and just sits Michael Block down and says, sir, you have been dethroned. And what I'm the kickback I think we're all going to have to face here is that Blocky will end up trying to become Rocco. What Rocco, and Rocco's the best, by the way. Like, I love Rocco.
Yeah, I'm a big Rocco fan.
And Blocky just can't be Rocco. So I'm still sorting through my thesis there, but I quite like Valhalla. I think it suits Tiger's game pretty nicely. And then the US Open, I'm ruling out the Open Championship this year. I think it's going to be slightly too cold. So many variables, just hard to say, honestly. But, you know, Pinehurst requires a lot of creativity. And the one thing that I feel really confident in Tiger's game is the creativity. So he just needs the stamina. Those are my thoughts. I hope you can bring a more optimistic answer on Augusta.
Yeah. I've been like thinking about this all week and I don't really know where to go. I think that's a a very sobering comment, frankly, on the Open Championship. Let's start there. I was like, this is ridiculous, but it's the world we live in. It's literally just looking up essentially the latitude of Royal Troon to see how far north it is, like how realistic it is that we get anything other than just cold weather. And I mean, look, it's not that far up in Scotland and you can kind of get decent weather anywhere, I guess. But yeah, that's a true, the stars have to align. Like people, I don't know, maybe people just like haven't thought about the difference between high level and like extremely high level performance as much and what 20 degrees actually means for a guy like Tiger. But it's like truly a completely different game if it's 56 degrees versus 76. Like it's not relevant to think about how he's going to perform, you know, like it's just not really going to happen. And so unless the stars align and they get a hot ass week, you know, the battle in the sun sort of shit for the Open Championship. Yeah, we can just kind of rule that one out. Yeah, I'll just like go around here. Valhalla, I think, yeah, that's actually realistic. Like Kentucky in May, you could get pretty good weather. You know, I love the thoughts on Michael Block. Like, I think, I don't know if Liv really does much for Tiger in terms of like competing against those guys. I don't know if that draws anything out of him. I think he and Rory are kind of boys. Like he respects Rory. Rory respects him. A lot of the same could be said for the Rahms and JTs of the world and all of those sorts of guys. But like, I think if we're talking about like really making the cat meow, it's Michael Block. Like that's what's going to get him going. So knowing that Blocky's in the field, I think is a pretty big deal. So that's kind of a subplot that I'm tracking for the PGA. I think we could see some good stuff there. The US Open, I'm just like completely going back and forth here. Flattish golf course. I think he can absolutely walk Pinehurst and be just fine. I just think that US Open has become, not become, but it just is such like difficult smash mouth golf where the margins are just so fine. And what we were talking about, like what you said from jump that I really liked, that like the good's been good, but the bad's just a little too bad. You can't really play a US Open that way. No. You know, like if things are going to be a little bit sloppy, shit just doesn't work. And that, I mean, Pinehurst, if there's even one iota of slop, you know, if you go two sips of a beer too far, you're just completely done there. And so I don't really see that one being interesting. I don't think he plays like complete garbage like we've seen a couple times, but I think that's a miscut. And then the Masters. It's so hard. I mean, the physical stuff is just impossible to tell. Like, yeah, he's saying he feels pretty good this week, but I just don't know. I don't really foresee a world in which he shows up round four at the Masters and is like actually fresh. You know, like yes. Last year, it was just so sad. It was like truly sad to watch him try to play that third round when it got really, really bad. The weather, that is. And then also obviously his physical stuff with him limping on the 17th and all that. So the Masters, we need the good weather to come through, which really hasn't happened in a few years. So, you know, maybe you could say that we're due for one of those. And if it does, it's kind of, let's just bundle everything we've talked about today. If he gets that pretty good weather, the putter is really good. That's thing one. Like he has to be putting the ball really well these days. No reason to believe that it can't be something somewhat interesting. But I think those are the three things that I would be tracking there is like, can we get at least through three rounds before it's just like, wow, like he looks really bad out there, you know, because I think he can shoot 75 at Augusta if it's just like gnarly, the sort of physical condition he's in. But the last couple of years, we've seen him get to a spot where it's like, hey, brother, like this can't happen.
You're good. Know? Like, go sit down.
We've been talking about running today. It's like you get to mile 22 of the marathon and your hamstring is literally seizing up. It's like, you can't just like make yourself go piss out four more 7 minute miles. It's just not how it works, you know? And that it feels like that's where Tiger gets in every tournament where it's like, he's trying to get to the finish line, but it's like, no, like this body isn't moving. So if we can avoid that, the putter is decent and the weather, I guess the season has moved forward a bit. And I guess part of it is a product of like last year being in New York for the PGA in May. And, you know, you never know what you're going to get in Oklahoma. A couple of years ago, we had some really cold weather, but it's strange to me that majors these days, like it feels like we've been having a lot of really just cold weather. I mean, the 22 US Open up in Boston, there was cold weather. The only one that we know, I mean, Kentucky in May, got to think we're probably getting pretty concept that majors have become very hit or miss in terms of whether we get pretty good weather versus just like colder shit. I'd be all for just saying like, let's push the season back because I want to see these guys play when it's 85, not this trash Harry Potter golf sort of stuff. Had to get that one in there. So, okay. That's all I got. Anything else or, yeah, should we leave him with Mudball Monday?
I've got one quick thought. I think that, Envy Apples are the Augusta National of Apple varietals. And for the reason for that is when Augusta's really good, it's really fucking good. And when Augusta's not that good, kind of on a, you know, sour December day, you get a bunch of mud balls, you know, it's just that good. And on that note, happy Mudball Monday. We'll be in touch. We got shit coming your way. Big week for the Tie Guys. We'll keep it pushing. Peace.